It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look great. What have you been doing?
I found Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe the same active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s for 80 to 90% less without insurance. All of mine shipped right to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's care to #250.
On the night of February 19, 2005, 34-year-old Daniel Imbo and 35-year-old Richard Patrone met up with friends at Albaline's, a bar in Philadelphia. By all accounts, they were having a great time reconnecting after a breakup weeks prior. At around 11:45 p.m., they said their goodbyes and left the bar, planning to head to Danielle's home in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, but they never made it. Despite extensive searches and years of investigative efforts, there has never been a single confirmed sighting of Danielle, Richard, or his truck. And after two decades, their families are still asking the same question. What happened to Danielle Imbo and Richard Patrone? Hey everyone, welcome back to Detective Perspective. My name is Derek Levasseur. I'm a licensed private investigator and former police detective, and each week I'll be covering an unsolved case in story format. I'll then give you my perspective on the investigation and provide contact information for the individuals or organizations connected to the case so that if you have any tips, you can contact them directly and maybe you can help solve a case. So if you're someone who's interested in true crime, specifically unsolved cases, and you would like to hear my opinion on those investigations, please consider subscribing whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever platform you use. So Danielle Imbo and Richard Patrone, this is a really interesting case. Why am I covering it now? Well, a few reasons. First off, it's a complete mystery. As we sit here right now, as I mentioned, not a single sighting of Danielle, Richard, or his vehicle. They just vanished, essentially. And as you heard in the teaser, this occurred on February 19th, which was just a few days ago, marking the 20th anniversary of their disappearance. And the final reason I was drawn to this case is as we get into the theories of this investigation, you're going to find that it may potentially involve a body of water and may need expert scuba divers to solve it. Well, I am someone who has been scuba diving for many years. I have my certification. Unfortunately, I don't scuba dive nearly as much as I used to. Kids, businesses, life, it gets away from you, but it is something that I would like to get back into again. And what's interesting about this case in particular is I have a very, very small connection to it. You're going to hear me mention the organization Adventures with Purpose. This is also a YouTube channel, and there's a specific individual that works for them, Doug Bishop. I've actually spoke to him in the past about maybe teaming up with him on one of his cases, because what his organization does is they go out there and they work these cold cases and they dive in specific areas where they believe a victim may have entered the water and just has never been found. And the last time I checked, they had solved like over 20 cases where they had pulled up a car and ultimately found the person who had been missing all of this time. So they do a lot of great work. And with the brief conversations that I've had with Doug, he's done a great job. Now, to be fully transparent, we actually covered Adventures with Purpose many years ago on Crime Weekly for a different reason. It wasn't a good reason, but Doug was not involved with those things that were going on, and he has continued to do this great work. So they actually had the chance to go down and work on this case. There's multiple YouTube videos out there about it. So as I was going through the research, I saw Doug and I saw the work he did. There was a 42-minute video that I actually watched on this particular investigation, and it was fascinating. So after seeing all of that, I knew I had to cover this case, if for no other reason than just to get the story out there about Danielle and Richard. So let's not waste any more time. We have a lot to cover. Let's get into this week's case. Danielle Atobre was born on August 7th, 1970, to her parents John Sr. and Felice. Her father, known by his stage name Johnny October, was a well-known singer in the 1950s doo-wop group The Four Dates, who often performed alongside Frankie Avalon. Like her father, Danielle had a deep love for music. She was the lead singer in a band called The Schoolboys, and from what I've been able to gather, her voice was very similar to Janis Joplin's. She was still performing with her band when she met and married Joe Embo Jr. in the early 2000s. But after they married, Joe made it clear that he expected changes. He insisted that Danielle leave the band, telling her that as his wife, their weekends needed to be spent together, so it wasn't long after that she stepped away from music. The couple settled into a home in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, a suburban town about 25 miles from South Philadelphia. In the spring of 2003, they welcomed their son, Joe Embo III, who they called Little Joe. But less than a year later, their marriage was falling apart. Big shocker there, right? And in late July 2004, while Danielle and her 8-month-old Little Joe was sick at home, Joe flew to Houston, Texas to attend the Super Bowl between the Carolina Panthers and the New England Patriots. And we know what happened there. Shout out Tom Brady. Now, during the flight, he met a woman who immediately caught his attention. And just weeks later in March, he walked out on Danielle and their son to pursue a relationship with this new girl, even moving to Georgia in the process. But his decision didn't last long. I guess this girl figured out that he was a piece of shit. And less than 2 weeks later, Joe was back at Danielle's door, pleading for another chance. Now, unfortunately, Danielle agreed to get back together, but things were never quite the same, and eventually, she did file for divorce. Good for her. By May of 2004, Danielle had moved on and started dating Richard Petrone. According to ABC News, the two had known each other for over 20 years, and Richard's sister Christine had been Danielle's best friend since high school, and their families had always been close as well. When they reconnected, Richard was working alongside his father at their family business, Vikings Pastries, where Richard was known for his skill in making wedding cakes. Now, outside of work, the most important person in Richard's life was his daughter, Angela. He raised her as a single father since she was 3 years old, but in 2003, when Angela was 13, she decided to move back in with her mother. So, wanting to be closer to her, Richard moved into an apartment on Snyder Avenue in South Philadelphia. Now, Richard was excited to start dating Danielle, but her ex-husband was still a problem. Joe continued pressing her to get back together, refusing to accept the fact that their relationship was over. In early 2005, he showed up at their house and they got into an argument, and later Danielle would tell her family that during the fight, Joe had actually bounced the baby's high chair off the wall. Now, it's important to note that Joe denied this ever happened, but at this point, it's a he said, she said, so you believe whatever you want. Now, after that incident, Danielle made it clear she would not be getting back together with Joe. Her brother John changed the locks at her home, and he also had a sit-down with Joe warning him to be civil. But it didn't seem like Joe listened, because not long after, he called Richard at his parents' bakery and warned him to stay away from Danielle. The stress of it all became too much for Danielle, and she eventually told Richard that she wanted to take a break from their relationship. Now, according to ABC News, Richard had really fallen for Danielle, which also made her a little uneasy. Now, what that means, I really don't know what to take from that. Was it uneasy because Richard was moving too fast and she was still recovering from a previous relationship? Or was it uneasy just because maybe Richard was a little too overbearing and a little too connected and a little too in her face all the time, which is also possible? Either way, I'll tell you right now, this doesn't appear to be too much of this story, but I at least wanted to put it out there because it was reported by ABC News. And on top of feeling uneasy, custody arrangements for Little Joe had just been finalized, and her divorce was about to be as well, so Danielle wanted to take some time for herself as she adjusted to her life as a single mother. Now, it is important to note that after the breakup, she and Richard stopped speaking altogether. So that brings us to the evening in question, Saturday, February 19th, 2005. Danielle was home alone while little Joe was spending the weekend with his father. So she decided to go out for dinner in Philadelphia with her mother Felice, her best friend Christine, and Christine's mother Marge. While they were out, Richard called Christine and asked if she wanted to meet him and his friends for drinks at Albaline's, a bar and restaurant located at 429 South Street in Philadelphia. Christine turned him down but passed the phone over to Danielle, and even though they hadn't spoken in weeks, she agreed to meet Richard at Albaline's. So Christine drove her over to the bar and dropped her off, and from what I understand, Christine did not stay. While at the bar, Richard and Danielle met up with their friends Anthony Valentino and Michelle McLaughlin. And from what we know, they seemed to be having a great time. They were affectionate throughout the evening, and there was no sign of any lingering tension from their time apart. At around 11:45 p.m., they said goodbye to their friends, telling them they were heading to Danielle's house in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Richard planned to spend the night there and then head home the next morning to watch the Daytona 500, and Danielle was supposed to meet up with Christine to get a haircut. But unfortunately for Richard and Danielle, those plans would never come to fruition. We're going to take our first break. We'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
So before the break, we were talking about how Danielle and Richard left the bar and had plans for the next day. But when Danielle didn't show up for her 11 a.m. hair appointment with Christine, her best friend just assumed that she had slept in or decided to skip it after a late night out. And according to the Courier Post, Christine tried calling both Danielle and Richard, but their phones went straight to voicemail. And this is obviously not a good sign, and I want to save a lot of this for the perspective because we're going to go into theories, but the fact that the phones were both off 12 hours after last being seen alive, not a good sign. It means either the phones were intentionally turned off or they were broken. The question becomes, how did they break? Now, meanwhile, around lunchtime, Danielle's brother John arrived at her house to fix a curtain rod that little Joe had torn down. She wasn't home, but since he had a key, he let himself in to make the repair. And while he was inside, he looked around and everything appeared to be normal. There was no sign of struggle or anything out of place. Still, something didn't seem right, so John called their mom to ask if he knew where Danielle was, and she said she had no idea. They both assumed that no matter what, Danielle would be back soon because Joe would be dropping little Joe off that afternoon, and she would never miss that. So John decided to wait around to see if she showed up. At around 3 p.m., Joe arrived with little Joe, and John wanted to avoid any issues, so he covered for Danielle and told Joe that she was out with Christine and had asked him to pick up her son. He didn't want to give Joe anything to use against his sister later. So after Joe left, John stayed at the house watching little Joe and waited for Danielle to come home. But as the sun began to set, panic set in for both families. No one had spoken to Danielle or Richard since the night before, and it wasn't like either of them to be unreachable. Danielle would never miss being home in time for her son, and Richard always kept his phone on him in case his daughter called. They were both extremely devoted parents who would never leave their children behind. According to Philadelphia Magazine, Richard's father and John spent the night driving every possible route the couple could have taken from the bar to Mount Laurel, searching for any sign of them. But there was nothing, no trace of Danielle, Richard, or Richard's vehicle, which was a 2001 Dodge Dakota pickup. It was mostly black, but with a little silver on the bottom portion of it. So with no leads and no idea where they could have gone, both families filed missing persons reports in every precinct in Philadelphia as well as New Jersey. So the researchers had some questions on this, and maybe you guys will as well. They wanted to know, in a situation like this where you have multiple states, where do you file the police report? Or in a more simpler example, what if it's in two different cities? Well, normally you want to file the police report where the crime occurred, but what if you don't know what city or state that's in? You want to go to where the last known location is. So if the last known location for the victims is in a certain city, that's where you want to try to file it. You can also cover both bases and try to file a report in both cities so that the jurisdictions, the agencies can work together on it. But in this case, when you have it going over state lines, Pennsylvania and New Jersey, you want to start with the state police, but more than likely it's going to go up to the FBI. They obviously have jurisdiction throughout the country, so they're not bound by those boundaries. And that was, in fact, what happened here. You did have a federal agent working this case. But as far as the initial investigation, police began immediately canvassing the area around Albalene's, hoping to find someone who had seen Danielle and Richard after they left. But it was unclear whether they had turned left or right upon exiting the bar, and no one reported spotting them on the street. Richard's friend Anthony recalled that Richard had mentioned finding a great parking spot, but he had never said exactly where it was. According to ABC News, investigators found no evidence of a crime scene or any indication of an accident in the area. No blood, no signs of struggle, nothing to indicate what had happened to them. They also reviewed footage from cameras positioned on the nearby streets and bridges, but there was no images of Danielle, Richard, or Richard's truck. And I think here it's important to remember that although technology has come a long way, this is 2005, and surveillance cameras weren't nearly as common as they are today, making it difficult to track Danielle and Richard's movements. So after canvassing the area and looking at the security footage, the police looked into Danielle and Richard's cell phone records and financial accounts. They found that neither of their phones had been used since leaving the bar, and there had been no activity on their bank accounts or credit cards. With no leads, the search expanded. Police scoured the streets of Philadelphia and even went to the airport looking for Richard's truck, but it was nowhere to be found. So to get from Philadelphia to Mount Laurel, you have to cross the Delaware River, and there are multiple routes that you can take to do that, including the Walt Whitman Bridge, the Ben Franklin Bridge, and the Betsy Ross Bridge. So given the lack of evidence, investigators began considering the possibility that, for reasons unknown, the truck had veered off the road and ended up in the river. To test this theory, police conducted aerial searches over the Delaware River. They also brought in divers and trawled the water, searching for any sign of the missing truck. Over the course of the search, several submerged vehicles were discovered, but none of them were Richard's Dodge Dakota. Now, this is what I was referring to earlier about Doug and Adventures with Purpose. They were in that water for 3 days. They were using this high-speed sonar radar equipment. You could see the bottom of the river. You could see different vehicles. And Doug's so good, he could almost tell what the vehicles were before they were even brought up. But it was fascinating to see that process unfold. Now, police continued their search, and Danielle and Richard's family did everything they could to spread awareness. They printed missing persons flyers and posted them throughout South Philadelphia. They also organized searches of the wooded areas between South Philly and New Jersey. But no matter how many people joined the effort, there was no sign of Danielle, Richard, or his vehicle. And with no sign of them anywhere, police turned their attention to questioning Danielle's soon-to-be ex-husband, Joe Imbo. According to ABC News, he told investigators that after picking up little Joe from Danielle, he took him to visit family in Toms River, New Jersey, where he spent the night. On the evening of February 19th, Joe said that he was at a party with family and friends, and some of them were actually police officers. Now, it's important to note that investigators were able to confirm this alibi. Now, even though the alibi checked out, Joe did say something that caught the investigators' attention. He admitted that he had the password to Danielle's voicemail and had checked it on the night she disappeared. And he claimed he did this because he was just a jealous guy. After the interview with investigators, Joe spoke with the Republican and Herald, claiming that he had taken a polygraph test and passed. However, no law enforcement agency has ever publicly confirmed this. And for some time after Danielle disappeared, Joe and Little Joe continued living in Danielle's condo. Now, eventually they moved to South Carolina, and while they were down there, Little Joe was able to keep in contact with Danielle's family through phone calls and summer visits. And while all this was going on, the investigation continued, but with no eyewitnesses, no surveillance footage, and no physical evidence, the progress was slow. So a month into the search, Richard's 14-year-old daughter, Angela, made a heartbreaking plea on the news. Through tears, she looked directly into the camera and said, quote, "If anyone has any information about my dad, please, I just need him back. Please, I need him back." Beside her grandmother, Marge, stood visibly shaken, trying to hold herself together. The search continued, but there were no major updates. Then in 2008, the FBI shared a new theory that Danielle and Richard had been the victims of a murder-for-hire plot. They didn't provide any further detail, but the families hoped that this revelation would reignite interest in the case and get people talking again. But to their disappointment, it was only briefly mentioned in one newspaper. And this is just the unfortunate reality of how media works. If they don't have new information to sink their teeth into, they're going to move on to the new relevant cases with victims that also need coverage. And I don't think it's anything malicious, but if there's nothing to actually cover, they have to move on until there's breaking news. So now they're going to go on and they're going to cover the cases currently in the headlines, not only because it's going to get more clicks and more views, but because that information deserves to be covered as well. And that's where we come in. Podcasters, YouTubers, we have a platform as well, and in some cases even bigger than the newspapers and the media outlets. So that's why I'm here. I'm going to cover these cases. I'm going to use my voice to expand the information that's out there about these cases, and hopefully there's new people who have never heard of this case now getting exposed to it. That's the goal. And unfortunately, the media not covering the case wasn't the only negative thing that came as time passed, because the bond between the Patron and the Atobre families also fractured. According to ABC News, the Patrons believed that Danielle's ex-husband was responsible for what happened. And the Atobres, on the other hand, they began to wonder if Richard had been dealing with problems of his own, maybe issues with drugs or gambling, and that had put them both in danger on the night of the occurrence. In 2014, FBI Special Agent Vito Rosselli, who was leading the investigation, spoke with Philadelphia Magazine about the case. He said that the complete lack of evidence suggested a very particular type of crime. He went on to say, quote, "Making two people and a truck disappear with no witnesses and no evidence of any kind for 9 years suggests methodical planning. It's possible a perpetrator could just get lucky, but it's more likely just what it looks like. Someone behind this knew what they were doing." We're going to take our last break and we'll be right back.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle. With ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
All right, we're back, and let's continue on with Special Agent Rosselli. He explained that the murder-for-hire theory was just one possibility among many. When the FBI publicly mentioned it, their goal had been to, quote, shake the tree and see if anything came loose, but unfortunately, nothing did. Now, during that same interview, Rosselli addressed the family's theories, whether Danielle's ex-husband had been involved or whether someone had been targeting Richard. Now, he confirmed that Joe had taken a polygraph, but did not reveal the results. All he would say is that there wasn't enough evidence to arrest him, but at the same time, he had not been ruled out. As for Richard, Rosselli made it clear that investigators had thoroughly looked into his past, stating, quote, "Believe me, we looked and continued to look, but nothing has emerged that there was anything in his background that would suggest him being a target for murder." Now, the only pushback I would have there would be his relationship with Danielle, if Joe was somehow involved, could potentially make him a target for murder. Speaking of Joe, he also sat down with Philadelphia Magazine to address the suspicions surrounding him. Looking the reporter in the eye, he insisted that he had nothing to do with Danielle's disappearance. He said he was well aware that many people believed he was responsible, but he maintained that he was not. He went on to speak about his relationship with Danielle and the things he had regretted, asking her to quit the band, having an affair, and ultimately how things ended between them. At one point, his eyes filled with tears as he said, quote, "I don't talk about this a lot. It's awful. The person who suffers the most is my son. He lost a wonderful person in his life." In 2015, 10 years after the disappearances, the FBI held a news conference announcing a renewed push to solve the case. They were launching a cold case initiative and assigning additional resources to the investigation. Officials said that they had generated promising leads over the last 2 years and urged the public to come forward with any new information. Now, they didn't share any specifics about these leads, but reiterated their belief that Danielle and Richard had been victims of foul play. They went on to say that while they ruled out kidnapping due to the lack of a ransom demand, they had not ruled out any suspects. Once again, they acknowledged that one possibility was a murder-for-hire plot. Now, if that were true, the perpetrators would have needed to go to great lengths, not only to kill Danielle and Richard, but to dispose of their bodies and Richard's truck so completely that none of them had been found despite years of investigative efforts. The FBI went on to state that if this really was a murder for hire, it was unlikely the person responsible acted alone. An agent stated, quote, "We are confident there is someone out there who knows what happened to Danielle and Richard." In 2020, the FBI held another press conference to mark the 15th year of Danielle and Richard's disappearance. They stated that while the investigation had generated promising leads, neither Danielle, Richard, nor Richard's truck had ever been found. They again asked the public to come forward with what they know. Unfortunately, there have been no other major updates in this case, and as I mentioned earlier, February 19th, 2025, which was just a few days ago, marked 20 years since Danielle, Richard, and his truck vanished without a trace. Their families remain desperate for answers and the chance to finally bring Danielle and Richard home. All right, let's dive into this perspective because I have a lot to go over. I want to elaborate on some of the things I've already mentioned. I also want to talk about some potential theories, and I will tell you right from the jump, I don't necessarily agree with the FBI, but we will get more into that. So first off, let's go back to the phones. The fact that Danielle's friend called the phones, both Richard and Danielle's, and they both went straight to voicemail, that tells me they were either physically turned off or they were broken. In this case, potentially submerged in water. But we'll get more into that. I also want to note that the easy passes were not used by Danielle or Richard. And also, based on what we know about Danielle's condo and Richard's house as well, his apartment above the bakery, it doesn't appear that anybody had been there. So to me, whatever happened to Richard and Danielle, it happened on that ride home. So within 20 minutes of them leaving the bar. Now, speaking of them leaving the bar, let's talk about two different scenarios because a lot of people are assuming, because Richard said they were going to Danielle's, that that's where they went. And I agree with that assessment, but I would also like to propose they had a change of heart and decided to go to Richard's apartment, which was above Viking's Bakery, which I had mentioned earlier, which was in Admore, and it was only about 15 minutes away. So a little bit less of a distance than to Danielle's home, which was like 20, 25 minutes away. And why do I bring this up? Well, if we're to believe that Danielle and Richard ended up in a body of water, by having both options available, both Richard's apartment and Danielle's condo, that's a lot of routes and a lot of bodies of water to cover. But before we get more into the bodies of water and that potential scenario, let's run down, in my opinion, the four most likely cases. And this isn't necessarily what I believe in, but I'm just going to put them out there. The first one, the murder for hire plot. That's kind of what the FBI has said publicly. Here's why I'm not buying it. If this was a murder for hire plot, this meetup between Richard and Danielle was sporadic. There was no way that Danielle knew Richard was going to call her friend's phone that night, and then she was going to decide to go meet up with them. And they sure as hell didn't know that they were going to end up going back to Danielle's apartment together. This was completely out of the blue. So how would someone, let's just say Joe for this example, set up this murder for hire plot where not only would he know they were going to get together, but where they were going to end up at this particular bar and what time they were going to leave and where they were going to go from there? And also, in addition to all of that, how would this contract killer have known that they were going to leave together and that there weren't going to be other people with them? All of these variables make for a very difficult scenario for anybody to carry out any type of crime. And so if this was in fact something that was premeditated, I don't think they would have chosen this night and under these circumstances. So for me, the murder for hire plot doesn't hold a lot of weight. And I know Joe was a possessive, jealous guy. He admitted to that, but he did have an alibi for that evening. So if he had actually hired someone, you would think there would have been some type of digital or paper trail that would have led back to him that the FBI would have found, and yet there's been nothing. So I understand that they may have information that's not accessible to me, and maybe my opinion would change if I had that information. But based on what I know and just common sense, it doesn't seem like if this was a contract hit, this would have been the night to carry it out. Which moves me on to the next theory, which is a crime of opportunity. If it wasn't premeditated, could a scenario have unfolded where Richard and Danielle found themselves in the wrong place at the wrong time? Maybe it's a carjacking gone wrong. The perpetrators or perpetrator could have gotten into the vehicle with a gun. They drive them somewhere. They kill them. And because now there's two murders attached to the vehicle, they decide not to take the car, but instead dump everything into a body of water. And they could have driven the vehicle for a little while to a different location, and that it could explain why we haven't found anything yet. And now for theory number three, which I personally believe is the most likely scenario, and that's that this was an accident. For some reason, unknown to me or you, Richard's vehicle veered off the road and into a body of water. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, if they went towards Richard's home or they went towards Danielle's condo, there were multiple routes, multiple bridges, multiple bodies of water. It would be a large area to cover. And they could be in a very small spot. If you watch Adventures with Purpose, you can see how much they already covered. And it's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of square footage they have to go over. And I thought about a couple of different reasons how they could have ended up in the water. It could have been an animal on the road where they're trying to avoid it. They veer off and go off the side. It could have been another vehicle, maybe an intoxicated driver that they were trying to avoid. And by doing so, they went off the road. And then I also even entertained the idea that if Richard and Danielle somehow got into an argument on the way back to Danielle or Richard's home, and Richard in that moment got frustrated and decided to jerk the wheel and scare them, and it resulted in a really bad accident that took their lives, I guess that's also possible. But without being in the car, we can only go off what witnesses described. And that was two people who were getting along, who were affectionate. And let's just be real. We're all adults here, okay? They left together. They didn't plan on meeting up, but they left together in the same car and were going to one of their two homes together. What do you think was going to happen when they got there? So they were probably both in pretty good moods. So I don't see in that short drive, 15, 20 minutes, all of a sudden they had a great night, there's this complete U-turn, and now Richard is deliberately driving off the road. I'm not buying it. I don't think it's probable at all. But even with that not being on my radar, it still puts Richard, Danielle, and his truck in the water somewhere. And that's where I think it's going to take a lot more effort by people like Doug Bishop and others to go out there and slowly and methodically create these grid searches and go over these bodies of water one by one. It's going to be exhausting. It's going to be time consuming. It's probably going to be expensive, but it's necessary. And it's not only necessary because we want to reunite Danielle and Richard with their families, it will also fill in a lot of the blanks. What do I mean by that? Well, depending on where they're found and the condition they're found in, it will tell us a story. For example, Doug Bishop, who was doing the grid searches, there were areas that he was searching where he found multiple vehicles that were in kind of a more rundown neighborhood. There was a pier there. The vehicles were deliberately driven off the pier into the specific area. Now, if we were to find Richard and Danielle there, that may suggest something, maybe a crime that occurred prior to them ending up in the water. And then based on how they were found and the conditions of their body, it would be difficult, but maybe that would also tell a story. Now, on the other hand, if they're found off the side of a road, maybe on their side, and you can kind of recreate it where you can see that this was an accident that had gone wrong and it was on their way home, well, then you would have your answers there as well. So there's a lot at stake here, and we have to put in the time, not only to find out whether foul play was involved or not, but also, most importantly, to reunite them with their families. So yes, as I sit here right now, I do not believe that the FBI's theory of a murder for hire is the most probable. And I will tell you, reading between the lines and after watching Doug Bishop's video, I don't even know if the FBI still believes that. Because if you go back and you watch that video, Doug Bishop had a off-record meeting with the FBI, and he essentially says, hey, this is confidential. I can't discuss what we talked about, but I will tell you that the FBI and our team are aligned in what they believe happened. So as you watch this video that Doug Bishop goes through and searches the water, he mentions multiple times that he believes they're in the water, and more than likely it was a horrific accident. But he does put the qualifier out there by saying, hey, depending on how we find them, that could change. So I do think that the FBI and I are more aligned than they have publicly said, but we have to find them. That's the only way to put it to rest. That's the only way to actually figure out what happened to Danielle and Richard. And even though I think it's necessary to continue searching these bodies of water, the FBI is not wrong. Someone out there may know something, and you got to hope that they come forward with information. And I'm always hoping that's going to be one of you guys. So just to recap, 34-year-old Danielle Imbo and 35-year-old Richard Petrone were last seen at around 11:45 p.m. on February 19, 2005, leaving Abilene's Bar on South Street in Philadelphia. They were traveling in Richard's 2001 Dodge Dakota pickup truck, which was black with silver along the bottom, allegedly heading toward Danielle's home in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, but they also could have been heading toward Richard's home in Ardmore, Pennsylvania. At the time of her disappearance, Danielle, who was a white female, was 5'5" tall and weighed approximately 120 pounds. She had hazel eyes and brown hair, and she was last seen wearing a dark jacket, a cream sweater, and blue jeans. She also wore three small silver rings on her middle finger and carried a black purse. She has a tattoo of flowers on her lower back. Richard, who is a white male, was 5'9" tall and weighed approximately 200 pounds. He has blue eyes and brown hair and was last seen wearing blue jeans and a gray polo sweatshirt. On his left arm, he has a tattoo with the word Angela, and on his right arm, he has a tattoo of clowns. If you have any information about Danielle and Richard's disappearance, please contact the Citizens Crime Commission tip line at 215-546-8477. There is a $15,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of anyone involved. As always, my final words go out to Richard and Danielle's family, specifically Angela and Little Joe. I know it's hard not knowing what happened to your parents, and I know you're out there still fighting for them. I want you to know that we're here with you. I also want to give a shout out to Doug Bishop, not only for his work on this case, but on all the cases he's involved in. And Doug, if you happen to see this, I know we have contact on Twitter, but would love to collaborate with you on one of these cases. Get out there, get the dive gear back on, and render any assistance that I can. I think that would be great to have that opportunity to work with you and your team. As always, if there's any new information on this case, I will be right here to let you guys know about it. But until then, stay safe out there, and I'll see you soon.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.